Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7. We're going verse by verse through the book, and verse number 6 was a great verse. I called it the Christian life in a nutshell. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." You started your Christian life by faith alone in Christ. You continue by faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's how you make spiritual progress in your life. Now, Satan wants to take you and corrupt your mind from the simplicity that's in Christ. But the Christ life is a methodical day-in, day-out walk with a person. It's a walk with Jesus Christ at home, at the office, in the neighborhood, at the grocery store, in the schoolroom, at college. The Christian life is a daily walk, an hourly, minute-by-minute walk with a person. It's a walk with Christ. It's about that daily relationship. And Paul is going to continue that theme in verse 7 when he says that we're to be rooted and built up in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Paul's desire for these people at Colossae was that they would be rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So Paul wanted these folks to be rooted and built up, not in religion, not rooted and built up in the Old Testament law, not rooted and built up in church tradition. He said, I want you to be rooted and I want you to be built up in a person, in Jesus Christ. Now, in your handout, it says that the word rooted carries the idea of a person who has sunk deep roots into the soil of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I was thinking as I was looking at my notes, I thought, you know, what a difference it would make if churches would just root people in Jesus Christ. What a difference it would make in churches. You know, when in your handout it says that when a person gets saved, when they trust Christ, the Holy Spirit places them in Christ. They are rooted in Him. That verb there indicates an action that has happened. You're rooted in Him. But in your handout it says that many believers, after they're rooted in Him, they want to try and change the soil. They want to try to change the soil. And so a lot of times what happens is people begin to try to sink their spiritual roots into church tradition. Some people try to sink their roots into religious rituals. Some people try to sink their spiritual roots into Christian service. That's just as bad. You know, we get so involved serving and doing things, and we kind of sink our roots into doing. And we sink try to sink them into Christian service, or we try to sink our spiritual roots into religious rules and religious externals. And a lot of times what happens is people want to try and root themselves in all these other things. Sometimes people try to root themselves in other people. You know, and they want to root themselves maybe in the pastor. And that's not God's plan. And I don't ever encourage that sort of thing. Some preachers, even in supposed Bible-teaching churches, a lot of preachers will encourage the flock to come to them for every little thing and will encourage them to kind of look at the pastor as the Solomon, the man with a special line to heaven and this special wisdom from on high. And we all got to go and you know, anytime there's an issue or a problem, you know, we got to scramble to call the pastor and find out what he says and what I should do. And of course, you've never, ever heard me, say that, and you've never through my actions seen me encourage that type of thing. Listen, I got enough problems dealing with me without trying to deal with 1,000 other people and trying to be God in their life too. Look, folks, you don't need to be rooted in Pastor Dan. And that's why I know there is a place where older believers need to help younger believers. But I'm going to tell you what happens. A lot of times, supposed more mature Christians are trying to help younger Christians, but in reality, all they do is they kind of make that young believer kind of more or less just dependent on them. And there's this codependency here where they're dependent on this mentor, you know. And so they're so dependent on this mentor, this spiritually more mature believer, they become so dependent. Do you understand that the purpose of mentoring somebody and discipling, whatever you want to call it, somebody, the purpose isn't for them to continue to be dependent on you. The purpose is to lead them and help them to grow in a way to where they find their sufficiency in Jesus Christ. Not where they walk in dependency on you. Now, a lot of preachers, that inflates the ego, and a lot of life group teachers, that inflates their ego. If everyone in the class is kind of dependent on them and looks at them as the, you know, like the spiritual guru, and boy, I tell you, that can puff you up, make you feel all proud. And a lot of preachers really need that. Boy, they're so insecure that they just need everybody coming to them and everybody just, you know, drawn from them and in need of them. And that's basically, it's insecurity and it's fleshliness on the part of the person that encourages that sort of thing. I want you to know right now, nothing would please me more than for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ to where you can stand on your own in the sufficiency that you have in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Nothing would please me more than that. Nothing. That's what it's all about, folks, right there, you know. And again, I'm not saying that you can't call me. There's times when you just need someone to pray with you or you need someone to encourage you. I'm not at all downplaying that or minimizing that. That's important. But what I'm trying to say is you can't find your sufficiency in a person because they'll let you down, okay? They're going to disappoint you. And so if you're trying to, you know, that's why Paul said what he said when he told the Corinthians, you know, we're not here to take dominion over your faith. He said, we're here to be helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. You know, you got to stand by faith on your own two feet. That's where this thing needs to go. And that's called being rooted and built up in Him. Okay? And any time you have someone in your life trying to lord over you, just get away from them. Don't let them do that to you. Don't let them put you in bondage like that. Okay? If you've got somebody in your life, I don't care if it's a life group teacher. A life group teacher at this church. I don't care if it's a pastor at this church. I don't care who it is. If there's someone in your life that they're acting like they're God in your life, they're acting like that they're trying to lord over you and take dominion over your faith, you know what? You need to ditch them at the first turn in the interstate. Amen. Because that is not what is biblical and that's not what you need. You say, what do I need? Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. And in your handout, it says there that Paul said the only way to be built up, the only way to grow, is to have a root system that's planted in Jesus Christ. Not in me. It's planted, not in Crossroads. It's planted in Jesus Christ. You know, if you were to take a small oak tree, and if you were to root that, if you were to take that oak tree and put it in a small planter, and then set the planter on concrete, is that oak tree going to be built up, yes or no? No, why? Because there's no good soil for it to send its roots down into. So if we're going to be built up, if we're going to grow in Christ in our Christian walk, we have to send down our spiritual roots into the right soil. What's the right soil? Christ. Right, it's Christ. You know, how do you do that in practical terms? How do I sink my roots into Christ in a practical level? It's real simple. It's not a complicated thing. You want to know what it all boils down to? It boils down to you taking everything to Him. You talk to Him about everything, and then you let Him talk to you through the Word of God. Amen. It's not a complicated thing, really. It's not a real It's you studying the Word, hearing what He's got to say, and then you taking what you're learning and studying and then talking to Him about it and applying and talking to Him about those things in your everyday life, you know, and asking Him to fill you with wisdom and strength to obey what you're reading and what you're studying. And that's really it at its most simple level. And that's called being rooted and built up in Christ, and it's so crucial. You know, so many churches, and I've been in churches like this as a member, so many people want to root their people. Churches want to root their people in religious rules and religious externals and standards, Christian, you know, standards. And that's not it. We've got to root people in a relationship and a walk with Jesus Christ. That's what's going to build them up and establish them in the faith. And here's the deal. You know, a lot of preachers and a lot of churches, you know, they've got these standards and this way they want people to look and talk and act, and they got these certain standards, the way they want them to talk and dress and look and act. And if people conform to the standard, the church leaders feel successful. They feel real good about it. Man, they're real happy about it. If everyone can just conform, you know, and do what the church expects them to do, then the preacher and the people, the church leadership, they feel real good about it. They feel like, man, we've been successful. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you're rooting people and just getting them to conform to this list or whatever of standards that you've come up with, when you just try to get people to conform, maybe they will conform because they want to fit in. But I'm going to tell you something right now, that produces immature believers. And that immaturity is going to show up in the church eventually. Eventually, you're going to have a church full of babies. I mean, buddy, you better build a lot more nursery rooms. Amen? Because you're going to have a lot, you better get a lot more pacifiers. Because you're going to need, you're going to have a church full of babies. And you're going to have immaturity, and it's going to come out during critical periods. That immaturity will show, and that immaturity will come out. And, you know, look at verse number 7 there. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, if you've been taught. That word established there, established in the faith, is a great word. It's also translated confirm in many places. Let me tell you a little story. When I was a young preteen, I was probably around 12. I went through confirmation class. That's what that word established means. It means to confirm. And I remember I went through confirmation. They called them confirmation classes. And I went through confirmation classes at the church where my family were members there in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I went through the confirmation classes. Unfortunately, these classes never established me in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They only established me in religion. And what happened was, I finished the confirmation classes, and then at the end of the classes, I went through a baptismal ritual where they sprinkled me on the head with some water and said some things. And when I went through confirmation classes and they sprinkled me on the head and baptized me in that ritual, I want y'all to know something. I was just as lost in my sins as when I started those classes. Just as lost in my sins as ever. I can remember leaving and joking and with my friends about, you know, being a wet head and all that, you know. And I remember, you know, thinking it is a big joke, you know. And you know what the problem was? I was confirmed in religion, but I wasn't confirmed in Christ. Paul said established. That means confirm. Confirm them in Christ. Established in the faith. See, in your handout, it says Paul taught that if we want to establish people in the faith, then they got to be rooted and built up in Christ. That's what Paul taught Epaphras. Remember, the pastor of this church. And that's what Epaphras had taught the Colossians. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, notice, as you have been taught. Epaphras had told these people this. And then notice what he said here. And by the way, let me say this. Paul taught Epaphras. Epaphras taught these people that you need to be rooted and built up in Christ. And that's why we teach what we teach in our growth groups on Sunday night at 4:30. That's why we teach what we teach. Our discipleship course here at Crossroads, we call them growth groups, they are not about getting people to conform to a list. Am I right, Brother Steve? Brother Steve Shrunk teaches one of the classes. And we're not trying to get them to conform to a list, are we? What's the goal of our growth group? All through the thread that goes all throughout those classes are, you need a personal walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And that's why, you know, we've gone here at our church, pretty much, we write our own curriculum now. You know, Pastor Rich works very hard at writing curriculum for our life groups. We've taken many of the studies I've done and we've put them into curriculum. And now we're producing our own children's curriculum. Pastor Rob produces curriculum for the teens because we want to make sure that our people are being rooted and built up in Christ. You say, that's a lot of work. Oh, sure, it's easier just to order material from somebody and have them send us the curriculum and then just hand it out. Oh, that's a lot easier. You know, it's a lot less work. But you know what? Bottom line is that, you know, when you order a curriculum like that from somewhere, there's some man in another state, another city somewhere, sitting there writing that, and he doesn't know us from Adam, thank you. Couldn't think of that expression. You guys are helping me teach tonight. I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, he doesn't know us from Adam. He's sitting there writing. We don't know that he even understands these things. So, you know, that's why we've gone more and more to producing our own curriculum here at Crossroads. We want to make sure that people are established in Christ. Because you know what? What word do you think of when you see the word establish? Established, okay. A little bit different. But there you go, stable. Established, stabilize, stable. You know what happens when you're rooted and built up in Christ? That produces stable Christians. Christians that aren't doing this, tossed to and fro. You know, it establishes us, it stabilizes us in our Christian walk, and it protects us from all the strange religious systems that are out there that want to appeal to you and draw you in. In your handout, it says that when we are built up in our relationship with Christ, it results in so much joy and a heart that abounds with thanksgiving. Some people comment to me, I hear this a lot, and they'll say, you know, I visited your church, and one thing that I really noticed is you guys are a happy bunch up there at that church. Aren't you glad for that? You know, I'm so glad for that. Man, our choir, I just love them. They just sing from their heart, and I love watching our choir sing and our people just filled with the Spirit and smiling and enjoying the songs, and you guys out there, smiles on your faces and enjoying it. You know why? Because we're preaching Christ, we're rooting, and we're building up people in Christ. And you know, it doesn't mean we're perfect, but I'll tell you one thing, there's joy in that, isn't there? There's joy in that. I mean, look at verse 7. That's why he says what he says there at the end. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. Then notice the result, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Man, it's just a natural, it's just a normal thing to be full of thanks when you walk by faith with Jesus Christ. It's so liberating. It's so liberating. It's so much freedom. Man, when I'm walking by faith in Christ, I don't have to compare myself with other people anymore. I don't have to make sure that I'm living up to the standard of the pastor. I don't have to make sure I'm living up to the church list of do's and don'ts. Man, it's just about Jesus, man. It's about walking with Christ. It's about talking with Him, walking in fellowship with Him, enjoying my completeness in Him, letting Him live His life through me. Let me tell you something, folks. That brings joy in your life. You know? But I tell you what, man, you get entrenched in legalism and all that stuff, buddy, that produces some long faces, doesn't it? Produces some mighty long faces when you get all wrapped up in trying to live up to somebody else's standard and trying to, live up to the church traditions and all that. It just, you know, man, it's depressing. Well, the first word of verse 8 is what? Say it again. Beware. Now we're familiar with that word, aren't we? Beware. See, right now, look up here. Notice how this flows. He says, you know what, folks? It's all about your walk with Jesus Christ, being rooted and built up in Him. And right after he tells them what it's all about, the first word he says is, though, listen, it's all about Christ. It's all about your walk with Him. It's all about being rooted and built up in Him. But what's the next word? Beware. Beware. It's a word we're very familiar with. You ever see a sign, beware of the dog? Now, I told you my dog story Sunday. you were here, about the pit bull that attacked me and bit me. I told you that story Sunday. Y'all do remember that, right? We haven't forgot that. All right. It's not that important to remember, really, but, you know, rather you remember the message in the Bible. But, you know, but we was talking about going by emotions and all that. And the dog, what I didn't tell you, I didn't finish that story, but the dog that bit me, the pit bull, he ended up clamping down on the head of that little girl that lived in that house. And they had to shoot that dog off that girl. And she ended up in the hospital, and I don't know, did she have brain damage and everything else from that? And I'm gonna be honest with you. Ever since that experience, when I see a sign that says beware of the dog, I take that to heart. I take that real serious when I see beware of the dog. You know, I don't take that lightly when I see a beware of the dog. I mean, if I'm out visiting and I'm knocking on doors and I'm inviting people to church, you know, and I'm going door to door, man, if I go to a house and I see beware of the dog, y'all come to church, you know, from the sidewalk, I holler, y'all come to church, and I go to the next house, you know. You say, that's a lack of faith. You call it whatever you want to. But I'm going to the next house. I think one of the funniest beware signs I ever read was I got me a new iron, you know, to iron clothes. I love to iron. What's so funny about that? I do love to iron, don't I, honey? I love to iron. And I iron clothes all the time. I love it. And it's one of the few things I do around the house. But I do that. I was ironing, and I got me a new iron. I was real proud of it, and I was reading the manual. I'm the type, I like to read the manual, make sure I don't do anything wrong. And so I'm reading the manual. Right, I kid not, right in the front of the manual, it said, beware. It said, iron gets very hot. And then it said, do not iron clothes while they are on your body. Promise, it said that. I thought, what idiot tried that? What idiot tried to where they had to put that on there? Somebody tried it, obviously. Oh, man, I'm in a hurry. I got a wrinkle. Here. Come on. Unbelievable. People are visiting the hospital. What happened? Well, I ironed myself. So, anyway, I'm being silly. But the word beware, we're familiar with that word. And really, the word beware means what? It means pay attention, right? Pay attention because there's something that could hurt you if you don't heed the warning. Beware. Now, beware of what? Look at the verse. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, that word in your handout, I'm going to give you something here. It says in your handout, the word spoil means to lead away. To lead away. So what's Paul's concern here? Well, the concern is he was afraid that men would lead the Colossians from what? From Christ. And you know how we know that? Look at the end of the verse. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through, and then he lists some things. And we're going to go through these in a moment. Philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Notice, what are they leading them away from? And not after what? Christ. They're going to lead you to everything but Christ. In your handout, it says, instead of teaching people to sink down their roots into the good soil of Christ, men would come along and they would seek to promote other soil. They're going to try to promote other soil instead of the good soil of Christ. Christ substitutes. Christ substitute. That's what he's talking about here. Offering people Christ instead of Christ. Let me give you this. Let me give you this. And, you know, that's what he's talking about here, you know. We're familiar with, like, sugar substitutes, right? It's instead of sugar, here's a substitute. It's going to taste like sugar, even though it really doesn't. I mean, it's sweet, but it's going to be sweet like sugar, but it's going to be a substitute. It's not going to really be sugar, you know. It's a sugar substitute. Well, these guys are offering Christ substitutes. What are they? Number one, philosophy. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. What is that? In your handout, This is man's attempt to explain the origin of things and the causes of phenomena, both of mind and matter, apart from Jesus Christ. Now, what did we learn in chapter 1? Who is the creator of everything? Christ. Who is the sustainer of all of creation? Christ. Who is the center and who is the focus of creation? Christ. Now, that was pretty easy, wasn't it? Because all three answers were the same, right? Christ. He's the creator, the sustainer, the center, and focus of it all. You know what philosophy does? Now, listen to me. A lot of you have got this in college. Okay, you got this in school. Philosophy leaves Christ out. And it offers substitutes to people. Evolution, things like this. It gives people substitutes for Christ. And a lot of people have sunk the roots of their heart into philosophy. Into philosophy. By the way, I'm going to give you a little plug, Pastor Rich. Pastor Rich, he has been teaching at Daytona State College. What's the name of your class? The superiority of Christ over other world religions. He is getting to go on a secular college campus and share the gospel of Christ. And how long have you been doing that? A little over a year and a half. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you proud that we got a pastor out there teaching a college-level course out there at the State College? That is just incredible to me, you know? And that's awesome because you know what? They're going to get a lot of philosophy, but aren't you glad they get to have a class where they can hear the truth, amen? And then the next one there is vain deceit. He says, beware lest any man spoil you, lead you away through philosophy and vain deceit. You know, that's interesting because in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, it talks about the Antichrist who's going to come in the future, in the tribulation, and he's going to lead people away. Do you know how he does it? With all deceivableness of unrighteousness. But do you know what he does to deceive? Do you remember the text in 2 Thessalonians 2? Do you know how Satan deceives people? Bible says he uses power, signs, and lying wonders. Power, signs, and lying wonders. You know what Christ, you know what that prefix antichrist means? It does mean against, but it also means to substitute. It means in place of. And that's exactly what the antichrist does. He's against Christ, yes, but how does he do it? He does it very subtly, very slyly, by offering people substitutes. Let me give you something in place of Jesus Christ. And when people try to attain righteousness any other way than Jesus Christ, it's vain deceit. It's an empty lie of Satan. Paul says, you better beware. Vain deceit. Then look at the next one. After the tradition of men. The word tradition just means commandments. The commandments of men. Men will seek to root you in the soil of their own religious rules and denominational commands. Go over to Mark 7 real quick. Let me show you a good cross-reference with that. Keep your bookmarker here. Go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 7. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 7. Men will try to root you in their own religious rules, denominational commands. Look at Mark 7. Look what Jesus says here in verse 8. Or, I'm sorry, go up to verse 7, really. You need to get 7. He said, howbeit in vain. There's that vain again, vain deceit. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. You mean you can worship God and do it wrong? Can you worship God and do it wrong? Absolutely. He said, in vain, howbeit in vain do they worship me? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of who? Men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. As the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Look down at verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect, how? Through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. Wow. I don't think I need to say much about that. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Go back to Colossians 2, verse 8. He says, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. Now go to your handout. It says the word rudiments simply means the elements or principles of Satan's world system. Satan has a counterfeit substitute for everything. He has a counterfeit substitute for everything. For example, let's say somebody out there, they want a deeper spiritual experience. They just have that longing for a deeper spiritual experience. Satan says, great, how about some New Age mysticism? How about some meditation? Yeah, that's great. This will give you a deeper spiritual experience. Somebody says, I want to feel more deeply religious and devout. Satan says, great. Here, how about some religious laws and rituals and traditions to keep? You'll feel real religious if you do these things. Somebody comes along and says, I just want to feel better about myself. Satan says, okay, great. How about some positive thinkism? Somebody says, I feel so bad for the things I've done. Man, I just want to be able to atone for all my wrongdoing. Satan says, wonderful. How about some self-afflicted penance and asceticism? How about some self-inflicted? Deprive yourself of this. Deprive yourself in your diet. Deprive yourself of this or that. And have some self-afflicted wounds so that you can atone for your sins. Somebody says, man, I want to know about the future. Satan says, oh, okay, no problem. Let me introduce you to the spirit world. And let's look to the moon and the stars. And let's look to the astrological signs so that we can help you know the future. See, the cravings that men have in their heart, Satan always has a substitute for them. He's always got a substitute. But you know what, folks? We here at Crossroads, we know the truth, don't we? And we know that only Christ can fulfill all those things. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Yeah, He's the answer. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. But Satan has all these substitutes. Look at verse 8 again. Beware lest any man spoil you, lead you away from Christ. How? Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All of these things ultimately do the exact same thing. They all lead down the same path. In your handout, it says they lead people away from the real solution and the real answer, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why the end of the verse says, and not after Christ. False teachers leading these people astray, leading them away from a personal walk of faith with Jesus Christ. How? Let me offer you some worldly substitute. And Paul says, beware. That means watch out, look out, be on your guard, be ever ready. And no, listen, can a believer fall for those things? You can be saved and fall for those things. You can be saved. Listen, I believe we got saved teenagers that come up through the youth group. They get saved. They love God. They believe the Bible. But then they go to college, whatever. And you know what happens? They get caught up in philosophy and vain deceit. And they're led away from a personal walk of faith with Jesus Christ. They're led away from that. So Paul says, you better beware. Better be ready. And then he says, because here's the bottom line. He says in verse, and we're not going to get into it tonight, but he says in verse 9, for in Him, in Christ, dwelleth, and what's the next word? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are what? Complete in Him. Isn't that great, church? We're going to talk about that next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Let's stop there. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Father, I just pray now that, Lord, we will beware and will not allow any man or any person or anything to lead us away from a personal walk of faith with you, Jesus. May we be rooted and built up in you. We love you and we need you, and we pray this now in Jesus' name.